Our next speaker needs little introduction. I believe we've all heard from her already. But Renee Lovelace is presenting on a 100-year special needs plan. So help me in welcoming Renee.
Okay, if you're like me and have issues with vision, and you're going to look at going back and forth between the paper and the slides. My slides are just here to kind of pace us through the paper. All of the information is in the paper except for a couple of quick statements, and I'll point those out as I go along. All right, so is 100 years a reasonable time frame for planning? I asked my husband to look at my paper, and that was the first question he asked. And then, of course, he launched off talking about 100-year floodplains and 100-year time horizons for weather and how everything was changing now with climate change. None of that has anything to do with us, but it really hit me that the time horizon that we use is very important whenever you're looking at any kind of forecasting. So a baby girl born in 2025 has an 87-year life expectancy. That means not every baby born this year will live to age 87, but many will live past age 87. Boys have a slightly shorter life expectancy. So we really do need to be planning for 100 years for babies, and for others maybe 50 years or 70 years or 30 years. But a lot of special needs trusts are depleted way sooner than the end of the beneficiary's life. In fact, a staggering number, I think, are going to be depleted in under 10 years. And so depletion is a major issue. Section B. What is the difference between drafting a special needs trust and developing a lifetime plan? Drafting a special needs trust that doesn't disqualify someone from most public benefits programs is actually fairly simple. You start with a basic trust and you remove all the control from the beneficiary. If it's a first-party trust, you add a payback provision and you may need to add limitations on distributions that would create countable income. In many attorneys' offices, it's basically one extra button that says add SNT on the computer, so it's pretty easy. But drafting a special needs trust that promotes the best possible life for the beneficiary requires many more steps. Those steps are what we're going to call special needs planning, and that's not easy at all. When an attorney is working on a special needs plan, they're going to be looking at information on public benefits that apply to the beneficiary, housing, employment, transportation, social and medical needs, a careful review of property available to fund the SNTs, options for trustees and other advisors, and other protective drafting options. Now, clients may be very clear about their intentions and hopes for a special needs trust beneficiary. But once the trust is depleted, the world of opportunities for that beneficiary basically goes dark and the beneficiary falls off the radar and we don't hear any complaints because they have no voice because there's no money left. So it's important to have a plan that really does match the time period that we need to be concerned about, looking at the lifetime of the individual. Now, if I start going backwards, please tell me, because these buttons always get me. Are we on B or is that B or C? That's B? Okay, moving to C. Avoiding S&T depletion during a beneficiary's lifetime. The formula is pretty simple. If we want to have a dollar left when the beneficiary dies, we need to be looking at the beginning principle plus cumulative increases minus cumulative decreases, and that's our ending principle. But as we know, those three components are very difficult to predict and project. So we're looking at the assets, we're looking at all the increases, and then we're looking at the decreases. And I'm in the middle there of page 2. The direct beneficiary expenses, we know what those are. There are a lot of expenses, but there's also indirect beneficiary expenses, losses in property value, ongoing administration costs, and the big item, which is transitions and catastrophes, and that's very rarely on anybody's distribution.